Hi, I'm Mandy Connell, and I'd like to invite you to join me and my psychedelic sidekick, Dr. Gonzo, on a musical exploration here on And This One's Introduced By on community radio station 3CR. I said sidekick.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gonzo, and This One's Introduced By is a 60-minute program where we listen to tracks from an album introduced by the artist who made the album. Thanks for listening, and This One's Introduced By... If you've been following the Australian folk music scene and have found yourself at a few festivals, chances are that you've been impressed by Mandy Connell. She's performed solo, as part of the Maggie Darlings, and with the five-piece band, the Stray Hens, gracing stages at the Malden Folk Festival, Port Fairy, the National Folk Festival, and countless other venues across the country. Recently, Dr. Gonzo parked his converted VW delivery van / mobile recording studio outside Mandy's home in Castlemaine to capture her track-by-track introductions for her upcoming and yet-to-be-released album, The Girl Who Fell Off the Wall. This edition of And This One's Introduced By is the third episode in the Goldfield series, a collection of artist-led features spotlighting regional talents like Doc Henry, Rebecca Tolhurst, David Thrussell, and of course, Mandy herself. Mandy is an artist who channels her world and lived experience into her songs. Her energy, irrepressible laugh, and distinctive voice are magnetic, drawing listeners into her storytelling. I'd compare her to the likes of UK singer-songwriters Sandy Denny, Bridget St. John, Maddie Pryor, and June Tabor, captivating artists who also weave tradition with originality. Like them, Mandy is deeply underrated. Though often labelled a folk singer, some of her songs almost carry the edge and urgency of punk rock protest. Acclaimed Scottish-Australian folk singer Eric Bogle said it best, "Mandy Connell is the latest in a long and distinguished line of talented female musicians to grace the musical scene in Australia. A fine singer and songwriter in her own right, she also has the knack of taking other people's songs and by virtue of her original and unique interpretations, making them her own. The mark of a truly gifted performer." Mandy Connell joins Dr. Gonzo to introduce the tracks from her forthcoming album, The Girl Who Fell Off the Wall, on And This One's Introduced By on Community Radio 3CR.
I'm Mandy Connell. I'm a folk singer from Northeast Victoria and Central Victoria and Melbourne. And I'm here to talk about a record that I've made with Tom Wright in Sheffield in the UK. It's kind of exciting to talk about because it hasn't quite been released yet. And I'm looking forward to releasing it because it's the first thing that I'll be releasing under my own name since 2017, 2016. I guess that it's going to be a nice picking up of momentum after a long time in hibernation after lockdown, I guess you could call it. I'm a folk singer and I grew up in the folk festival scene in Australia, mostly touring around places like the National Folk Festival, Narriel, which is just like a camping folk festival. There's no stages. There's been so many and I love them all dearly, and I'm now deeply embedded in the scene, talking to organisers from Malden Folk Festival and Newstead, which are local to where I live in Castlemaine, and even people as far-flung as Flurio in South Australia and the National Folk Festival in Canberra, which happens at Easter. I'm really proud to be a folk singer from a tradition, and I think one of the most important things that we can do as performers is acknowledge that we stand on the shoulders of great storytellers from many generations. I know I'm living on Jarrah country for the home of the Dja Dja Wurrung people, where I am in Castlemaine. And of course, I grew up on Wurundjeri country in Melbourne. Aside from that, I have the intense joy and luck to have been brought up in an Anglo and Celtic community who pride themselves on their oral traditions. And I guess you could say I've learnt a lot of my basic education from folk music. Unfortunately, most of my geography, history and mathematics comes from songs, so it's not always 100% accurate, but it is always fun. And it's heavily influenced the way that I do things now. So I'm pretty well known for having a variety of projects on the go. Among other things, I've made a web series called An Otherwise Quiet Room, where I get to be the interviewer and I ask the questions and we also sing duets. I ran a traditional contemporary trad Celtic Anglo five-piece called The Stray Hens, with twin fiddles, drums, bass, five-part harmony. It was pretty great. I had a trio project. I made a studio album with Alicia Manso and Layla Jean Fibbins from Sideshow Brides, and that was called The Maggie Darlings, and we made a fabulous record, 30 Mil Studios in Brunswick. And I've also been able to contribute to a lot of records. For instance, I'm a guest vocalist on Les Thomas's record. I feature quite a lot on the Above the Bit record by Luke Watt and Nigel Wern. And I was lucky enough to be featured on Empty Train, which was the album that won David Francie the Best Album Award at the Canadian Folk Music Awards in 2016. So when I say it's nice to come back to a project of my own, what I mean is I've spent a lot of time focusing on working with other people for quite some time, and the idea of releasing something under my own name is thrilling and also maybe a bit daunting after not having that momentum under my own career for a long time. It's certainly nice to talk about now, because I suppose you could say the record, for me, to my ears, shows a lot of my influences, particularly the first track, Airport Traffic, which I wrote inspired by a man called Alistair Hewlett. It's a topical or a political song. It's written about the suspension of human rights in the Northern Territory. And when that happened, I was in England, and I learnt about it from a newspaper on a train going to Alistair Hewlett's funeral. I'm not someone who tends to think that I have I don't always feel qualified to make big sweeping commentary, but I think everybody should use their voices to the best of their ability. And I remember thinking at the time, Alistair would have written a song about this, so I have to have a go. And I did. And this track is beautiful because it shows off the most powerful guitar playing that I do. It's kind of the grungiest moment that I get to in a lot of ways. And it can also be a bit jarring for people who've listened to my live shows a lot, because it goes straight into a lead from an electric guitar played by Tom Wright, who is the producer for the record. And the lyrics for the song can be angry and sad and reflective, but for me there's a lot of hope in it because it addresses the issue directly. It opens out a topic that maybe often we gloss over or we don't want to talk about directly because it's too hard, or maybe we're frightened of what people will say, or it's not the right time. So it can be, for me, being able to talk about what it was like for the intervention in the Northern Territory to happen while we just felt powerless to do anything else. That's a powerful thing in itself. And I also like to think that the chorus, or such as it is, which is completely nonverbal, is my Dame Kavisha Metzela tribute moment. All of the hope and the passion and the optimism and the momentum that I could think of went into that nonverbal chorus in what is otherwise perhaps a confronting song, and it's a nice way to kick off the record. So I hope you like it as much as I do.
From the bustle of the airport traffic, I can read it in the paper now. They've taken all the half-caste children from the towns where they're not allowed. like the writing on an adult movie. Nobody's allowed to walk at night. There's fighting in the streets. The night's not safe. Occupation has its own language, replacing all the words we know. Some of these kids still don't speak English. The government says it's a symptom. So, intervention, good intention, no matter which words we choose. How much of the spirit gets lost in the action of rolling out tanks in the dream time home? Traffic, I can read it in the paper now. The big screens shout the news. The big clock shouts the hour. Gonna look up from my plastic coffee. Gonna throw out my fast food. They promised us a stronger future. Does this look like strength to you?
Track two from the album is The Garden. This one for me feels like the image that should go on the front cover. We're still sort of designing that at the moment. But the record is called The Girl Who Fell Off the Wall. And that's an homage to my second trip to England. I was lucky enough to get to go to the 40th annual Cropperty Folk Festival. For those of you who are not diehard, complete Daggalicious folk nerds, that is Fairport Convention's own annual band festival that they have. And it was the 40th anniversary of the band. And it was fabulous and confusing. It's the most English of folk festivals I could think of going to. I was with some friends and we were people watching, sat on the cemetery wall, just watching the crowd go past, drinking cider. This is a surreal experience. Australians do not gather on gravestones, but that was the seating arrangement. You know, people went and got a jug of cider in like an actual jug and sat on gravestones and just watched the crowd roll past to the main stage. And someone made me laugh really hard and I fell backwards off the cemetery wall. So that's what it's called. But it was a glorious day, and because it's a historic site, it's very well tended. It was a very beautiful place to be. And this next song is called The Garden, track two, and it's about home. I used to spend a lot of time traveling, going to England and back and forth and to festivals. And this song is really about how lovely it is to be at peace in a nice, well tended garden. It's also a bit of an homage to a fabulous songwriter called Kate Crowley. My shed in Brunswick has no view. And that's a response to Kate's song, which was in turn a response to a song by a guy called Rob Moss. And we were all pretty great friends and traveling a lot together. And Rob would sing this beautiful song about the moon, the Mara moon. And then Kate went home and she so intensely missed our time, their time hanging out together and listening to him sing, that she wrote this song. My shed in Brunswick doesn't have a great view, but I can still see the Mara moon. I'll light a fire and I'll think of you. And my song is, I know you won't believe I'm happy here. My shed in Brunswick has no view, because I was living in a shed in Brunswick. I don't have the Mara moon. So that is a reference to both of those great songwriters. And I guess it's about a sense of saudage or longing or hirith, or that I felt for home when I was on the road. And when I was on the road, certainly I was thinking of my friends in other places. But my favorite thing about this record and this song is that there's a section in it that wasn't there when I was touring in Australia, and it didn't show up until we got there, and the new section, until I got to England to record the record. And the new section is, you can love the road, you can love the story, you can love the fame and the lights and all the glory, but pretty soon that fades, and then you turn for home looking for a flame, but soon you find you have to light your own, and you go and build a fire. And yeah, I think it's possibly the most optimistic thing I've ever written, and it's certainly everybody else's favourite. And if you're a Mandy Connell fan, then you'll probably know this is the one everyone sings when they come to the shows.
Come on.
Working with Tom Wright, who produced The Girl Who Fell Off the Wall, was a delight. Making records for me is quite hard and very confronting. I don't like to hear myself back. I don't always love to listen back to my songs, and sometimes I can feel quite distressed when I'm in a dead room listening to myself through headphones. There's something sensory about it that can freak me out. But Tom's worked with me before. He made my 2007 album, Tall Tales and Pretty Colours. So these are 11 years apart by the same man. And Tom's a professional. He's worked with some of my biggest heroes, including Martin Simpson and Nancy Kerr. And he managed me perfectly. So what he did was he put me in the studio at Yellow Arch Studios in Sheffield, which is where the Arctic Monkeys recorded, and sat me down and said, we're just going to do guide tracks so that I've got an idea of how this can fit together and, you know, what artists we can bring in to put on the record. And he made me do a couple of takes of every song. And then if he didn't think something was finished yet, he sent me off to write another bit. And then once we'd done all of that, I had a few days to go walking in the Peak District, and then I went to Scotland for a few days, and then I went home. And he put the whole record together just based on what I thought was going to be guide tracks, which is a surprise and could be slightly annoying, but was absolutely the best possible thing he could have done, because it meant that I wasn't stressing too much. I didn't overthink everything. And the process wasn't completely draining. So I just put tracks down, and then he made this record. What that also means is that the sound of this record is very different to other things that I might make. I tend to work with double basses, for example, and I quite like a lot of arco or bowed strings. I like a lot of acoustic sounds generally. Sometimes I also like to mash it up with very heavy electric guitar from Bobby J. Hutcherson, or a wailing effects-laden fiddle from Carmen O'Brien from Streams of Whiskey, or, you know, that can be fun. But Tom's sound is, to my mind, really heavily inspired by a combination of all of the best folk, indie folk bands that I love with a real trad influence, and also 90s kind of alt pop, I guess. we're both sort of around the same age group, and there's a lot of 90s music that I feel is kind of gently inspiring the sounds that come through. I really love his treatment of track 3, Jacob Said, again, because it's not something I would have expected, and he sent the tracks through to me, and I was listening to this whole band that had not been there with me when I recorded. So I kind of almost heard this song for the first time just listening to this arrangement or this production of it. But I love this song in particular. The first thing that comes to mind is the best compliment I ever really got about my songwriting was from Ender Kenny, and he loves this song in particular. And I always remember that compliment. It makes me feel really strong and really good. It's also a bit more hopeful than I can often be in my writing. And the chorus is, good things come to those who wait, hold on. And if I had known in 2015 when I wrote the song how important those lyrics were going to be through 2019, 2020, 2021, 2020, I think I might have been more proud of it than I was at the time. I'm certainly proud of it now. It's a story about being patient, not just with other people, but especially with yourself. And it's based on some good advice that my housemate gave me. When I met him, he was a struggling graphic designer who was making money but not enjoying himself at all. He quit drinking, took up boot camp, went to life drawing class, became a tattoo artist, and is now a super successful tattoo artist somewhere like Northern Rivers or Byron or up there. And his name is Jacob. And I remember him just sort of saying, just take it one day at a time. So the pre-chorus is, slowly, 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 Jacob said, good things come to those who wait, hold on. And if you're having a shitty time, then I can strongly recommend sitting with that advice and then trying again tomorrow.
Jacob slept alone at night, planned his day by morning light, kept his dreams illuminated on a graphic designer's table. Slowly, 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 Jacob said, came out drinking once a week, all his friends could talk a blue streak. All the ladies overlooked him, his best mates overtook him, but slowly, 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 Jacob said, good things come to Jacob's full of good advice, doles it out most every night. All you have to do is listen, take a little time. Try to eat right, get some sleep, exercise, and then you will see. Come the morning, you're doing fine. Slowly, 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 Jacob said. Slowly, 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 Jacob said.
The Girl Who Fell Off the Wall is full of images of places. As I said before, when I talked about writing The Garden, I spent a lot of time on the road thinking about staying still. I probably think best when I'm in motion, but I value peace and stillness. And this next song, track 4, The Footbridge, that is written about one of the best weekends I ever spent in my life. I came back from my first long stint in England, and I played Signet Folk Festival in Tasmania. So I got off the plane and onto the shuttle bus to Signet, and I met this band called Rapscallion. Oh, and Jenny M. Thomas and the fabulous Dan, their bass player, Bush from Bush Gothic. And I just had the most wonderful time. I was playing there with bass player Richard Grace, and I was hanging out with the members of Rapscallion, and me and one other person went for a walk over a footbridge after the show, and the water was perfectly still, and there was a huge spray of stars above us, and it was perfectly reflected in the water below us, which was mirror still. And somewhere off, not too far in the distance, some guy who fancied himself a tour guide was explaining to a couple of, I want to say, German tourists about the story of the emu constellation, the indigenous story of, I was going to say astrology, that's not what I'm going for, but the story of the emu constellation. And so we kind of heard this explanation from a very white person. It was funny and beautiful, and also a really nice reminder that the stories of the place that they were in are super old and serve so many purposes, educationally and emotionally, and as a way to bind everyone together. And I remember the next morning we were billeted with this beautiful couple, a picture framer who was making this amazing traditionally built yacht, huge fishing boat, and I got to stand on it in my bare feet, and it was all peg and all and tar and just like very traditional. And she had the most phenomenal garden, and I got to sit in the garden, and someone brought me a cup of tea, and there was ginger in it, which had never happened to me before. Nobody warned me. That's an interesting experience. And then I discovered there are bumblebees in Tasmania. And you don't really get a lot of this from listening to the song, but the chorus is, "We stood on the footbridge under the emu, with stars above and stars below." And it talks about, I guess, the visceral feelings that I had standing next to this person I was falling in love with. And the whole song for me evokes that weekend. I can still smell the garden, and I can still see the bumblebee, and I can still remember how thrilled and how happy I was to be playing and to be among this phenomenal program of wonderful people. The song is sad because the relationship ended and it was written after we broke up, but it's about a sense of home and stillness and place and calm.
We stood on the footbridge under the emu, stars above and stars below. Your loving hands beneath my lungs, your loving fingers on my bones, the loving lips that kissed my neck, and your loving arms around me. Your loving arms around me felt we've both been through cold months, but we've both survived, and it didn't hurt too much. Now in our time of earthquake and flood, I feel you in my blood, I feel you in my bones. Saffron and sloth, crimson and gold are the foil and the ribbon, when pink and green of springtime come, the red and gold have come and summer life, not a postcard from a band and crew, menus and memories around me, and nothing left inside. The nothing left inside me turns me. We stood on the footbridge under the emu, loving arms around me felt like home.
From falling in love and a little bit of sadness to just sheer breakup song, track 5 from The Girl Who Fell Off the Wall is called About Your Business, and it's also been recorded on the studio album I made with the Maggie Darlings. That one was written from a place of deep sadness and realizing that I really had to let go of this person who was so important to me. But it's also, I guess, about finding a sense of independence and voice outside of that relationship. So it's sort of speaking to that person with an ability to say, I wish you well. I don't want to bring you down. Go about your business in the world tonight. It's a little bit bitter. I'd had 3 separate relationships end with the person I was in the relationship with saying, this isn't very special, which I think at the time when I wrote this was starting to feel very personal. So it says, we both know I'm not that special. I'm not the keeping kind. Go about your business in the world tonight. I particularly love this song because it's written in Dadgad. I love being able to play a low drone and have the guitar, just the tone of the guitar ring out and hold that space. I'm lucky enough to play guitars by a fabulous luthier called Jack Spira. And Jack's guitars are designed for a lot of bottom end projection. In particular, my second Spira guitar was designed for me, specifically with that in mind. And the joy of having a beautifully made instrument ring and hold the tone and the mood, that gives me so much space to play with. And I like to play with space and dynamic range in what I do. So this song has a lot of breathing space or air between the words. I haven't always done that, and some of my songs are quite wordy, but this one is nicely placed in the middle of the album because it has a lot of room to breathe. And as you can see from Tom Wright's treatment of it, there's a lot of space for other tones, and his strings on this in particular have left me feeling like I've managed to write a song that's both relatable and something that everybody can access on a very individual level. And I tend to write very specific songs, but this one might be a bit more universal in its application to everybody's heartbreak, I suppose.
I don't want to bring you down. Go about your business in the world tonight. We both know I'm not that special. I am not the keeping kind. Go about your business in the world tonight. Without a narrative, there's no story to tell. Without a song in the line, there's no reason to tell them at all. Send me notes from time to time. Go about your business in the world tonight. Tell me all the ways you travel, all the roads I am not. about your business in the world tonight. Without a narrative, there's no story to tell. Without a song in the line, there's no reason to tell them at all. I don't wanna bring you down. Go about your business in the world tonight. Go about your business in the world tonight. Go about your business in the world tonight.
Hi, I'm Mandy Connell, and you're listening to And This One's Introduced By, where the artist introduces tracks from their album here on 3CR. Track 6 of The Girl Who Fell Off the Wall, we're right back to place, and I'm really excited to release this one as a single at some point. I've been working with an artist called Aaron Cox on something called a cranky, and we're going to make a music video based on this, I guess you could call it a scroll. So she's done a piece of artwork on a long piece of paper that is rolled up, and what happens is during the length of the song you turn a crank and it turns the paper and you get to see the paper move. And so we're going to be making a video in the next couple of months with that piece of artwork, and that's going to be really exciting. It was written, I guess you could say, about a house a few doors down from the Lomond Hotel in Brunswick East, a couple of blocks away from the house that the garden was written about. And the lime tree is it's a gift in place of an actual lime tree, because I'd been spending a lot of time in this beautiful house, and it had everything. It had beautiful stone floors and this huge repurposed workshop factory bench thing. I don't even know how they got it in the house. It had a vegetable garden. It had flowers. It didn't have a bath, but I overlooked that because it had a beautifully designed wet room, like, you know, a bathroom where you don't need a shower door for. The only thing it didn't really have was a lime tree. It had a lot of Jameson and a lot of gin, but no lime tree. I thought that was disappointing. So I went to buy a lime tree at Ceres, and I couldn't afford one. So they're like $90. So I wrote this song called The Lime Tree, and the chorus is, "Who knows how deep the roots will grow." Again, it's one of those it's one of those really evocative images of a nice garden on a nice day. The lime tree will grow in the garden at yours, near the apricot, lavender, and the sweet rose. It fits The Girl Who Fell Off the Wall because it's about a tumultuous time in my life. It was about a rash and probably not practical romance that I had. It was never going to last a long time, but was wonderful. And I suppose really it's about that love of stillness on a lovely day in a really good space.
The lime tree will grow in the garden at yours, near the apricot, lavender, and the sweet rose. It's plain that it's young. The flavor will come. And who knows how deep the roots will grow. Who knows how deep the roots will grow. persuade all the year round. As the herbs that grow thick and green on the ground, the flowers are a little bright and bloom in the spring. Though the thorn often scratches, the juices can sting.
Track 7, The Rocking Chair. This has a much more up-tempo kind of rhythm to it, and Tom's percussion. It's a nice change in mood, I guess, from the other tracks, and it lifts us kind of out of that reverie of the loam tree and into a busier section of the record. The Rocking Chair is a song it's written with happier chords about quite a miserable story. I think it's a happy story. I wrote it in Federal above Byron Bay on tour with the guys from Rapscallion. Actually, they were recording up there, and I went out to hang out and adventure along with them, which was great. And we were talking about the life of a musician, and those guys worked hard. I mean, they travelled all the time, and they didn't always have great accommodation, and sometimes they slept on the beach, you know. We were lucky enough to be in a pretty wonderful spot, and we were having a great time, but we were sitting around the fire talking about, you know, the things we choose and why we do that. My Nana had been quite unwell for a long time, and my mother had said this thing to me. She looked at the end of my Nana's life and looked at me and said, "Listen, when it's my turn, just take me out into the bush, leave me in a bark hut to die." I'm like, no, I don't think I can do that. But it got us all to thinking. And I'd also been listening to a fabulous band that are sadly no more, called Flap. I don't know if you remember Flap. One of the front people from Flap. There was a trumpet player called Eamon McNellis, who's a fantastic musician, just super famous jazz guy, works with everyone. And a lady called Jess Gill. And Jess was my hero. She was just so far out there. Actually, her dad lives around the corner, Derek Gill from the ABC. And they had a song, Superannuation, What the Flying Is That? This song is sort of the culmination of all of those things that were in my head at the time. It goes, I'm saving up for a rocking chair. I can't afford it, but I'm almost there. Never put me in a nursing home. I'd rather die on my own. Which to some people sounds terribly miserable, but I felt it was like a thought about intentional end of life and how we approach it and how we keep our agency as we get older and lose our abilities. And the other thing I love about this song is I performed it at a folk festival, and a lady who's now a really good friend came up to me in absolute floods of tears. And I used to introduce this song by saying, if you're a musician and you're in the audience and you're listening to this, odds on you've got 7 different superannuation accounts. For the love of Christ, would you please go and roll them into one so you're not wasting all your super giving fees to all these different companies? And she came up in tears and she said, I totally support what you're saying, but I also want to say that the insurance from several different superannuation accounts is what saved my son's life when he was in a terrible accident. And what paid for all the hospital bills and the rehab was the fact that he did have insurance from all of these different superannuation funds that he was part of. And I've never forgotten that. That was a haunting message. And of course, he's doing pretty well now, and they all are. And I haven't played this song live with the band in Australia for a while, but I'm really looking forward to playing it again more often, because I think this conversation about agency and how we live and how we want to be cared for when we need that again, that's a conversation we need to have a lot more, not just with other people, but maybe with ourselves.
Can't afford it, but I'm almost there. Never put me in a nursing home, I'd rather die on my own. Like Sophie and Kate, they'll never find me till the Mr. Rates. Been so long in my comfortable home, all they're ever gonna find is bone. Just to make ends meet, to beat a path on the city streets. I found a house, but I'm never home. I'm selling boxes on the
a conversation we could have more often with everybody is how we want to work together to look after the people in our communities that need it most. This next track, track 8 from The Girl Who Fell Off the Wall, is called The Intervention. And it's kind of a follow-on from track 1, from Airport Traffic. But The Intervention is very Australian, it's very political. I talk about Centrelink. I actually mention Centrelink, which I got to tell you, doesn't fly well with a lot of people. I have had a couple of band members kind of go, oh, it's a bit of a clanger. Do you want to use the word Centrelink in your song? I'm like, I don't know if those people are punk enough to be in my band, but... The Intervention is about, I guess, Australian authority and how much we trust it and how we want our community to be treating the most vulnerable among us. And there's a bridge in it. First they came for the tattooed men in leather. And I'm sort of talking about a while back now. Some listeners may not have been born, but in Queensland there was a big crackdown on bikie gangs. And there was this kind of huge kerfuffle in the press and a big police movement against bikie gangs. And my dad liked to ride motorbikes, and my experience of a lot of bikie gangs is that they tend to be accountants in leather. First they came for the tattooed men in leather, we were silent in our polyester blend. Then they came for the homeless in the shelters, and we refused to speak out even then. And that's kind of about, you know, watching the police clear people out of the CBD because there was some important event. And I'm like, where are they going to? And that, I suppose, something is that's even more relevant now. Once we've had floods and fires in lots of very populated areas, what's happening now is that a lot of the areas where they've ended up camping are getting cleared out because they're not allowed to live there. They're jailing all the journalists and the activists who speak. And so I guess the song is about the rise in authoritarianism and maybe an unethical, immoral, and sometimes illegal treatment by the authorities of people who don't fit the norm or who are maybe performing civil disobedience. I'm really indebted to Tom Wright for his production of this because he drove it. He made sure that I was staying on tempo. As a folkie, I can really mess with time signatures sometimes, and I can push and pull with tempo. But he really kept me on track and made sure that this track pumps along, and it does need to pump along because it's a bit angry. It's a bit, you know, it's a bit full on. Yeah, I like this song because for me, I get a really strong image of particular faces. Maybe like, I don't know if you've seen Agostino Soldati made a music video for Liz Stringer about friendship. And that music video just focuses on people's faces and particularly two people standing together. And when I think of how I would create images for this song, it's really like that. It's very portrait-esque shots of very iconic Australian faces of different shapes and colours and sorts. Yeah, it could be a super angry song, and I suppose it is. But the end of the message of the song is, I promise we can build a better nation. These are not the worst days that we've seen. We fought and died to make and break the unions. We bled and died to get the women's vote. And the idea is, dark times are here, but they've been here before, and we made really positive changes, and we still can.
Question. He just said to light for the Inquisition. The last time that I heard about the human rights suspension, I was on a train reading all about the intervention. It was just the Northern Territory then. A different set of laws for Central Australia. The tanks were rolling in behind armed men. Not a word was spoken in Victoria. Question. He said you're late for the Inquisition. The last time that I heard about the human rights suspension, oh, I figured when they finished, they'd be coming for the nation. First they came for the tattooed men in leather. We were silent in our polyester play. Came for the homeless in the shelters. We refused to speak out even then. Now activists are calling us to peace. Walk out and start discussions on the streets. They came for all the elderly and children. They're jailing all the journalists and activists who speak. They came for all my friends and all my people. If I don't speak now, who would speak for me? If I don't speak now, who will speak for me? Protection. Stay silent now, or will we intervene? I promise we can build a better nation. These are not the worst days that we've seen. We fought and died to make and break the union. We bled and died to get the women's vote. Before we had these laws, we had to write them. We bled for every freedom that we wrote. I went down to Centrelink to ask the man a question. He said you lied for the Inquisition. The last time that I heard about the human rights suspension, I figured unlawful detention sparked the revolution.
Blue Tack Constellation was written on a mandolin. Actually, it was written on a Graham MacDonald mandolin. He's a luthier in Canberra. And it's kind of sweet. A blue tack constellation is the glint off the reflective paint, which is the pearly paint that I was given, that I used in my bedroom in Faraday Street in Carlton. I lived in a famous share house in Faraday with a bunch of musicians, and I remember an artist friend quite a bit older than me came around to visit someone else entirely. I came down the stairs and was surprised to see the fabulous artist Donald sitting at my kitchen table, and he was looking around. He looked at the graffiti on the walls, and he looked at the little, gas, the ancient, probably very unsafe gas stove, and he went, "Yep, this is the place. I lived here about 30 years ago. I was here when they took Whitlam down," which is what he added to our graffiti wall. But it had been a share house so long that when I say the blue tack buildup on the walls in my bedroom was epic, I mean, it could have been a train station wall that had not been looked after in a long time. It was almost stucco, you know, it was almost rendered in blue tack. There was so much blue tack, I couldn't really take it off. So I just painted straight over. And the paint that I'd been given was glossy. And I didn't have curtains, so the street light would come in through the window at night and hit the bumps on the wall, and I sort of called that my blue tack constellation. And it's written about, again, this is very site specific. This is just about a specific room and all of the ties I had to it. I moved into that room after my ex-boyfriend moved out. I came back from England and he was seeing his new girlfriend and he wanted somewhere maybe a bit more grown up to live. And I didn't know where I was going to live or if I could afford to live in Melbourne after I'd been away so long. Ha ha, ha ha ha. If only I knew how expensive it was going to get. But there's a line in it. I knew that you would leave me here, but I told myself I didn't. And that's maybe a bit of a stretch because we're all pretty good friends and platonic by the time I wrote that song. My favourite line probably is, "It's brilliant white that picks up all the pretty colours of my pretty dresses hanging up." Again, it's a really visceral image and it's about home and stillness and appreciating the visual beauty of what's right in front of you. And maybe my favourite memory for this song is playing it solo to a huge crowd of very drunk people at Mount Hotham at the General. And suddenly the crowd, who I'm sure were there, they were just hanging out for covers. They picked up on the words and I ended up repeating the chorus maybe 8 or 9 times. It's usually quite a short song. And they sang it back to me en masse, like super loud, like, "Wah!" I was really fond of the song and I'd been playing it quite a lot with the band by the time I took it over to England. And I was almost going to retire it because it's a bit, I don't know, it's a bit sweet compared to a lot of the other things that I've put on here. But Tom was pretty adamant, this is a good song, we need to include it. So I'm glad we did.
I am painting slow endeavor, thicker coats of paint upon the windowsill that once was yours is now my room. The walls and doors are shiny white now, shiny white now. Oh, brilliant white that picks up all the pretty colors of my pretty dresses hanging up. Black stain you left by your hand, left by your head above the mattress where you slept. I left the blue tack on, blue tack constellation, blue tack constellation, blue tack constellation, blue tack constellation. Oh, I knew that you would leave me here, but I told myself I didn't, and I should not have held on so tight. Like someone's little sister, like someone's second cousin, like someone's little sister. Had to join the party far too early, had to leave before it really got interesting. Mm-hmm. crazy black stain. You left by your hand, left by your head above the mattress where you slept. I left the blue tack on, a blue tack constellation, blue tack constellation, blue tack constellation.
Aha! So at this point, we've been through all of the sweet songs and we've had a lot of the fire and the motivation and some of the happy and some of the angry, but track 10 is possibly the angriest song I've written, and it probably needs a trigger warning. It's a true story of some people I knew when I was quite young, and it's about domestic violence, and it starts, there were bruises on my elbows when they finally came through the door. And what it's talking about is, as I understand it, the woman, let's say the woman in this story, was being physically abused over a number of years. And then one day she decided to defend herself and she picked up a knife, and her partner told her she was a coward and she would never do it. Go on, do it. You'll never do it. And he grabbed her by the elbows so hard that he left handprints, thumbprint on the inside of her elbows and four fingers on the outside of her elbows. And she did. She stabbed him and he died and she went to jail. And the only thing that mitigated her sentence was the bruises on her elbows and the rest of her body, but particularly the bruises on her elbows, which showed that he had been doing this. It's quite a sad song. But the song is written from her perspective, not in the third person, it's from first person perspective. And the thing that I like about it is that, again, it provides quite a lot of agency. You might see, there's a version of this song on YouTube recorded with Carmen O'Brien, Bobby J. Hutcherson and Craig Kelly, recorded live at the Brothers Public House. Thank you to those guys for letting us use their space. This track has a slightly different treatment. Again, and I guess the beauty of working with Tom is that his production approach is so different that it really does make me hear the songs differently and anew every time. Again, as I said earlier, these takes were all done, I thought they were all guide tracks. So it's quite an unselfconscious vocal performance from me in this track. It's maybe a little bit more reserved than you might see me perform it on stage, and that's possibly because I was very much thinking about the song and about myself and my body, and not so much thinking about, you know, how to force the message out and how to get it right and how to make other people understand. So this treatment of the song, while it's still got that kind of indie 90s vibe that that Tom has, and his particular approach to drums and lead guitar, or I can't remember if this is a lap steel on this one, it's still quite a powerful song. Yeah, it's definitely the darkest place on the record. I don't know what else to say about it because it is such a touchy subject, but I suppose the only way to figure out your opinion is to have a listen.
There were bruises on my elbows when they finally came through the door. He was stretched out at the table, most of his blood on the floor. There were bruises on my elbows, but I never said a word. I only said I warned him, I warned him, I warned him. I warned him it could happen, though I swore it never would. There were bruises on my cheekbones when they locked me in my cell. I guess they're used to that, a public sign of private hell. There were bruises on my cheekbones, but they couldn't make me tell. I only said I warned him, I warned him, I warned him. I warned him it could happen, though it should have turned out well. Never shed another tear. They want me to tell everyone the story, but this is not the kind of thing you write down. Not that it didn't matter, after all, I only said I warned him. On my elbows, and my cheekbones told the news. When I got here, no one spoke, but everybody knew. Bruises can be bolder than my voice has ever been. I only said I warned him, I warned him, I warned him. I warned him it could happen, though I warned him it could happen, though it should. I warned him it could happen, though I swore it never would.
Track 11, The Hole in the Window. This is the first time this one's been properly recorded. There is an early version that I recorded for Damon Smith's web series. Damon Smith has a web series called The Night Sky is a Jewelry Store Window. Like me, he likes a long title, and you might find it as an acronym. I don't think I can do that. T-N-S. No, I can't do it. I-J. But I did record it there, but it hasn't been performed lots. It tends to only be performed in very intimate rooms. I did this for a house concert, Fred Holden's Duck Pond house concert series in Healesville, by request a couple of times. And I like this song because it perfectly describes the Faraday house. Come back to me, love. It's cold on the stairway, there's a hole in the window up high. I can't reach the frame and there's no glass to repair it. I know that I should, but I just. So it's a very sad song, mostly about the same guy that I wrote the Footbridge song about, but not completely. Mostly I think it was winter in a house with massive holes in it and not a lot of insulation. I think there were six musicians living together at odd times of the day. We all had sort of different jobs and different gigs and different touring schedules. It could be a great place to live, but it could also be a very lonely and dire place to live when the wind came through that broken window. There's a hole in the stairs where the carpet is worn, and I remember feeling quite miserable and sitting on the stairs on the phone, on my mobile, just staring at this hole in the carpet, trying to figure out whether it was worth trying to repair anything in the house at all.
There's a hole in the window up high. I can't reach the frame. I've no glass to repair it. I know that I should, but I just sit here staring. Some people shine like the sun. They shine when nobody's watching. I'm more like the moon, my love. I go dark and the earth keeps spinning round. Come back to me, love. Cold on the stairway, there's a hole in the window up high. I can't reach the frame, I've no glass to repair it. I know that I should, but I just sit here staring. And I've gotten to know all the woodworms by name. The plaster's still there where it fell in the storm last November. The ceiling's still leaking. There's a hole in the stairs where the carpet is worn. Back to me, love. It's cold on the stairway. There's a hole in the window up high. I can't reach the frame. I've no glass to repair it. I know that I should, but I just. I know. I know.
Track 12. It's a bit of a hodgepodge, this record, but I guess the thing that ties everything is that it's site-specific, and it tends to be about either a sense of longing or an appreciation of stillness. And this last song is bitter, but sonically it totally captures that sense of longing and self-determination that seems to be a running theme. It's a song that I wrote when I was really heartbroken, and I never intended to perform it that often, but some of the people that I play with, including the wonderful Tom Wright, said that it's great and it should be there. So it comes back up in our set list a fair bit. When I have when I'm lucky enough to be playing with people that I play with routinely, like Bobby J. Hutcherson or Craig Kelly, it's an interesting way to end the album because it's we've really sort of come down. Blue Tack Constellation is a love song to the room I was in. Bruises was sort of about so angry and so miserable and bitter, and that's about a story from way back in my past. Hole in the Window is kind of the sad end of living in the same place. But Belongs to You is a goodbye, and it's fitting to end the album here for me because it's the kind of thing where you can listen through, and this track will leave you in a nice contemplative place from where I feel you can transition to doing something nicer. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily listen to these three songs in a row on their own if you were already very sad. But Belongs to You, instead of feeling super heartbroken, this is my way of saying, I reject this. I give this back to you. I don't take this. This broken heart belongs to you and I don't want it here. I hope you hear it follow you. I hope you hear its dirty feet follow you down dirty streets. I hope you know there's something wrong. I hope you know you did me wrong. Actually, I don't think that's the version that went on the album, but that's the sentiment. And it took a long time for the words to really settle. And I often do this one just a cappella. Hopefully, though, once we have this album all wrapped up and printed, you can order a copy and then you can come and see us celebrate it at one of the shows. I'm very, very lucky to have people in both countries, in England and in Australia, who I love to play with. And I'm so grateful to all of them because without having been able to workshop these songs with people on both sides of the water, they wouldn't have come together the way they have. And in some cases, these songs have been, this might be my fifth attempt to record some of these songs. So they've had an evolution all of their own. I'm really looking forward to playing these live and also to releasing the music videos that we've been putting together for them for so long. We started making this record in 2018. And it was such a lovely experience to work at Yellow Arch. And I was there and I got to play support for Tim Erickson and I got to go walking in the Peak District and I got to play these really cool, very different arrangements with Tom Wright and then come home and workshop them with some of the best artists in the music, the country music and the folk music scenes in Melbourne. And I want to say thank you so much to Dr. Gonzo for having me talk ad nauseum about my songs. I feel very wanky. there is so much ego. And I also want to say thank you to you, whoever you are, for listening to my explanation of these songs. Never really know which parts of the stories people want to hear. So thanks for sticking with me and listening to the record and listening to my explanations.
This broken heart belongs to you. I don't want it here. I hope you hear it follow you. I hope you hear pathetic feet follow you down dirty streets. I hope you know there's something wrong. I hope you feel you don't belong. This broken heart won't be that bad if I give it back to you to have. This broken heart belongs to you, and I don't want it here.
Thanks for listening to an episode of And This One's Introduced By. I'm Dr. Gonzo, and I'll be presenting another artist with another album next time on This One's Introduced By. Catch you next time.
Hi, I'm Mandy Connell. Please support Community Radio 3CR. Get involved and find out more on the website at 3cr.org.au.